Exodus 20 verse 24. The scripture says, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy oxen, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, says, and I will bless thee. This morning, it has pleased the Lord this morning to speak to us about something that is a serious matter. It has pleased the Lord to speak to us this morning about something that has the capacity to transform our lives. Something that has the capacity to transform our destinies. And what the Lord will be talking to us this morning about is captioned Building Spiritual Altars. Building Spiritual Altars. The scriptures where we just read, it says, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thy burnt offerings on that altar. This is a demand from God. That an altar should be made unto him. So today, the altar we are talking about is not the physical altar. Like you know, this is a spiritual altar that the Lord wants us to build. For as many of us that listening to the message, the anointing of Jeroboam, we talked about Gideon in Judges chapter 6. The Bible said the children of Israel did evil in the sight of God. And what did God do? God delivered them into the hands of their enemies. Because of our time, I will not go through that scripture. But Israel did evil in the sight of God in Judges chapter 6 verse 1. And God delivered them into the hands of their enemies. It was the evil they did that caused God to deliver them into the hands of their enemies. Like I've said in several messages, anything that is done in the life of an individual, it transcends to generations. Last Sunday we talked about, who can remember what we talked about? Who can remember? We talked about deactivating generational curses. And in that meeting, we saw that as individuals, we can make investment for our children. Are we together? We can make investment. So people think the investment they keep for their children is only the money they save in the bank or the houses they build. No. That one can fade away. There are investments you keep for your children which you may not know. Habitually, the habit you cultivate, it becomes an investment for your children. I said in that message that the man, I specifically said the man that is a drunkard, is depositing into the account of his bloodline, because he will actually produce a greater drunkard. It will transcend generations until someone rises to break that yoke. What we're talking about this morning, which is captioned Spiritual Altars, is a message that the Lord has made real in my heart before I begin to utter this is already made real in my heart. I went for a program on Tuesday. I went to Port Harcourt on Tuesday. And the meeting we had started on Wednesday to Saturday. On Wednesday to Friday, 3 days meeting. The power of God was heavily manifest. We saw diverse miracles happening. Major miracles. And in the second day of the program, this message, building spiritual altars, it came forth. It was a message I ministered, but it happened that we did not go with our system for recording. So the Lord said I should, as I have returned here, I should minister that same word. But by the time we come to the end of this message, we will find out that many of us don't have spiritual altars. Many of us don't have spiritual altars. When there are even altars fighting against you, not having an altar, it's that you are submitting yourself as a prey before the devil. Just like you carry a goat and keep in front of a lion. Once you drop the goat in front of the lion, you can't stop the lion. If you even try to stop, the lion will take you too. So God does not want us to submit ourselves to the enemy. Because even the scripture says, Satan the devil moves around as a roaring lion, looking for a goat to eat. He's looking for a goat to devour. Because the sheep is always with the shepherd. The shepherd knows how to drive away those wild beasts. But the goat has no shepherd. The goat is without direction. It goes anywhere it feels like. That's why I said this is a morning of instruction. The instruction God will be bringing to us is to help us, help our families, help our generation. Israel did evil in the sight of God during the time of Gideon. And God delivered Israel to the hand of the enemy. Not because God wanted to, but because God was helpless. The people he is calling, they are not hearing like the sheep. They are going like the goats. So, there is nothing the Lord will be able to do. In verse 2, the Bible in that Gideon, Judges chapter 6. In the times of Gideon, in verse 2 of Judges chapter 6. The Bible said the children of Israel began to hide away from their enemies. They began to hide. They hid from their enemies. In that meeting I went, I told them that there are many of you here. You don't go to your village again. Because you say there are occult people there. If you go, anytime you come back, something bad must happen. So Israel was hiding from their enemies. The way some of us are afraid of the enemy. Especially in this part of the world, in Africa. Many people don't go to their villages because of necromancy, sorcery, voodoo, black witchcraft, and all of that. But it is those ones that will receive this instruction and know how to build their spiritual altar. It is those ones that will do exploits. The Bible said in the book of Daniel that they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. So this is a morning of knowing. The Lord wants to release a spiritual knowledge that will help our journey. In that Judges chapter 6 verse 3, the Bible said the children of Israel, all they planted, the Midianites will come and start eating. The Midianites will come and start eating. If you read Judges 6 3, you'll see it. Israel will plant, their enemies will come and eat. Jesus put a parable saying that while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among wheat. I talked about the widows and the harlots in the days of Solomon. One was, the two had their children, they gave birth. One slept carelessly and overlaid herself on the baby. The baby died. So her neighbor harlot that was sleeping by her side, she took the neighbor's child and replaced the child. It took wisdom for King Solomon to know who had the child. The lesson the Lord brought there is that the other harlot said, whilst thy handmaid slept, she came and took my child. So there are many of us that have slept, and in the course of sleeping, the enemy comes to take from us. So, but the intent of building spiritual altars is so that there will be no sleepers in the house. Jesus said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That was what Paul said in Ephesians. Midianites came and took the harvest of the Israelites. Many of us, because we are altarless, any harvest after laboring and toiling, the enemy will come and steal. The enemy will come and steal. Because there is little watching in the spirit. Little watching in the spirit. At the end of this message, we will learn how to build an altar. When I'm talking about learning how to build an altar, I'm not talking about learning how to buy candlesticks, carry to one corner of your room, light candle and drop one Bible and be banging your head 7 times every day. That's not the altar I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the altar some people will put crystal stones and be doing necromancy and be putting the name of Jesus in magic. That's not the altar. I'm not talking of the altar that you put beads everywhere and put, there is my best man when I wedded, his in-law, where they live, they have an altar where there is one image that looks like Virgin Mary, but that is not Virgin Mary. The altar is in their house. When they are entering, they will first do like this. Every morning they will submit themselves to the altar and pray. This one I'm talking, I'm looking for trouble, but I have to say truth. They kidnapped the mother of this young man. When they kidnapped the mother, they were waiting for the release of the mother. The younger brother went and said, God, if they don't release my mama, I go hold your mama here. He said, if they don't release the mother, you hold that image that looks like Virgin Mary. That is until God do make a release in mama, I'm not going to release God, mama. Are you seeing the wisdom of man? That is foolishness. Foolishness. If you hold that one as God, mama, hold that image. You know that image, there are more than 1 million on it. So God get 1 million, mama. Eh? Mama. That one is not the altar we are talking of. You can have that one in your house. Witches will be feasting on you day and night. Witches will be playing papangulo on your head, even if you bow to that kind of thing 1 million times. You don't bow to an image and say you're bowing to God. Israel was in shame because of their enemies. But I could see God not happy with the state of his children. I see that the Lord is not happy with the state of many of us. Not that the hand of the Lord is shutting that he cannot see, but it is because we are not participating with God. We are not participating. In Judges 6 verse 4, you will see that the Midianites afflicted Israel to the extent that Israel had no sustenance. The ministry of the enemy is the ministry of emptying. One of the minor prophets, I forgot that scripture, he said, emptying the emptiers. There is a ministry of the emptier that he will not leave you until you are totally emptied. So the enemy does not leave those they are holding in bondage until the person or the individual is totally emptied. That's the ministry of the emptier. To see that you are totally empty, that you have no sustenance. Israel had no sustenance. verse 6 of Judges chapter 6, it says Israel got to a level that they were impoverished. They were malnutrition. Not because they didn't have lands to plant, but because the enemies were around about them. The world we are living in, the psalmist said, the dark places of the earth are filled with habitations of cruelty. The world is a wicked place. The world we are living in is a wicked place. Jesus even said, in the world you shall have tribulations, but in me you shall have peace. So there are many manifold tribulations in the world, and God wants us to learn the wisdom of escape from these things. In that Judges chapter 6, I'm just narrating this, in verse 7 the Bible said the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and it was which they cried that God heard. So I always drop this point that the crying there is not just literally you are just crying. No, the cry unto the Lord means that they called unto the Lord. When you see in the Bible where it says the people of God cried unto God, it means that they called to God. Not like they just stood and started crying. No, but they were calling unto God. So no matter the emotional attachment, situations don't change unless cries are sent to the God of Zion. In that Judges chapter 6, you see clearly that Gideon, in verse 25 to 26, Gideon pulled down the altar of Baal and he built an altar unto Jehovah. Gideon is that man that you heard of that used 300 men to defeat the entire army of a nation. Huh? It's just like 300 men they gathered. They said they are going to bring down Nigerian army. How could that be possible? With 300 men. So before the 300 men came in view, Gideon built an altar unto the Lord. That is why we also need to build an altar. We need an altar. It's important. Day by day, altars are fighting. In territories, in regions, in nations, in continents, altars are fighting. And those that don't have altars speaking for them, those ones, they are to be pitied. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel the righteous. So you see, the blood of Abel had a voice to speak, even as Jesus' voice had a voice to speak. So there is life in the blood. Leviticus said the life of the flesh is in the blood. The bull you are seeing, the animals you are seeing, their blood has voices. When an animal sacrifice is done against a man, if there is no other speaking against that man will be in trouble. If there is no other speaking for that man will be in trouble. That's why you see most of these ritualists, evil people, they use blood sacrifices. They do blood sacrifices. Have you wondered why in the old covenant, God will summon his people? When someone sins, they will have to sacrifice a lamb. They will spill their blood. They will take it to the altar. The priest will do the sacrifices, and the Lord will receive the incense, and the anger, the wrath of God will be appeased. So God ended that in the new covenant when the blood of Jesus was shed for us. Now speaking mercy and grace for us. So inasmuch as the blood of Jesus speaks mercy and grace for us, it is important and compulsory for us to engage that same blood. Don't just fold your hands and say the blood of Jesus is speaking for me when you are not engaging the blood. You engage the blood on the altar. That is where we are journeying to. So Gideon saw an angel of the Lord in an encounter. And in the course of that, he made an altar unto Jehovah. Immediately Gideon destroyed the altar of Baal. He made an altar to God. And as he made an altar to God, the Bible said the worshippers of Baal began to pursue after Gideon. There are many men today that have destroyed the altars of Baal and have made an altar to Jehovah. And Satan does not send demons to pursue them. Satan comes by himself to supervise it. The Bible said, Jesus looked at Peter in the eyes and said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as a wheat. You know what that means? It's like you woke up in the morning and what you felt like eating is shawarma. You desired a burger or shawarma. And you went out to buy it because of that desire. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired you, he's hungry for you, to sift you as a wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. And when you are strengthened, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Why did Satan desire Peter? Because Peter had the revelation of the Christ when the others did not have it. When Jesus asked who the men say I am, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this for my Father in heaven. So those that have the revelations of God, the true and sincere revelations of God, it is Satan that will come to try them. So the people came against Gideon to kill him because he put down the altar of Baal and raised up an altar for Jehovah. In the course of this meeting, it's going to please the Lord that we make a conscious decision on raising an altar to him. When we bring up topics like this, we don't stray from the subject. We will not stray from it. We remain in that text. Building spiritual altars. A particular woman, I think I've told us sometime from Asia, was having diverse challenges, manipulations and fear. The devil was playing with her destiny. And when the Lord brought me in contact with her, I did not say, come, as a servant of the Lord, I want to break that yoke, can you go your way? No. I prayed for her, but then I taught her how to build an altar. And that altar she built for 4 years now and counting, it is still sustaining her. It is the altar that will sustain you. Without the altar, you have nothing speaking. Without the altar, you'll be at the mercy of your enemy. For you to be at the mercy of your enemy is the worst thing that can happen to you. For a man to be at the mercy of his enemy is the worst thing that can happen to the man. An altar is a meeting place with God. An altar is a meeting place with God. I've said it before, an altar is not a place you just drop things. I said, okay, because I've dropped some religious objects, here now is my altar. That's a lie. An altar is a meeting place with God. The Bible said in Genesis 13 verse 18, Abraham built an altar to Jehovah in Mamre. Abraham built an altar to Jehovah. And Abraham often went to that place to communicate with the Lord. And one day, Abraham communicating to the Lord as a spirit, he saw God manifest himself in the flesh. God came to Abraham. It was in that altar that he built in Genesis 13 verse 18. In Genesis 18 verse 1, God came back. Sodom was going to be destroyed. God came to seek counsel from Abraham. Not that he cannot determine by himself, but because of that friendship he had with Abraham. He said, shall I do a thing without revealing to Abraham, my friend? So they began to discuss. God said, I will destroy Sodom for this thing and that. Abraham began to bargain with God at the place of where? The altar. It was at the place of the altar that Abraham began to negotiate with the Almighty. Many of us don't have parole with God. Many of us don't have negotiation with God because we've not learned how to build an altar. Abraham built that place, and he may have been praying there for years, but one day God appeared. He saw him and said, I will not do a thing, but I will tell my friend. And Abraham began to speak to God, intercede on the behalf of the nation. If not Abraham's intercession, maybe Lot would have gone. That's a story for another day. Daniel in Babylon, the Bible said, while they made a decree that no man should pray to any other god, Daniel, three times a day, we will go and speak to God. The altar is the meeting place with God. At the end of this meeting, everybody is going to have a meeting place with God because it is important. Because if you don't have a meeting place with God, there will be nothing sustaining you. It's just like a vehicle is traveling, and part time the vehicle branches to a fueling station to drop petrol. After some time of driving, it will branch again. You don't say, I bought petrol and I'm traveling all the way, the entire week, you will not branch to buy petrol again. I don't mean a journey you are stopping, because we are in an onward journey. So you branch part time to draw. Many of us have not learned how to draw, and the place we draw is from the altar. The Bible said in 2 Samuel 24:25 that David built an altar unto the Lord and entreated the Lord, and the plagues were stayed from Israel. The plagues were prevented from Israel. There were plagues to come to Israel, but because David built an altar to the Lord, the plagues did not come. There are many plagues designed to affect families, plagues designed to affect communities and different lives and nations. But altars, are you hearing me, can keep these things away. Look at 2 Samuel. Look at that scripture with me. 2 Samuel 24 verse 5. 2 Samuel 24 verse 5. I read, it says, 2 Samuel 24 verse 25. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed. That is to say, the plague was kept away from Israel. There are destructive elements that are fashioned against institutions, destinies, and families that our altar can keep away. What if David did not build an altar there? You see, David did not just build an altar, he offered burnt offerings on the altar. We are going to see how to, the one of building the altar, the one of placing sacrifices on the altar, offering burnt offerings. David built an altar to the Lord, and in that place of the altar, what did he do? He entreated the Lord. He begged God for the sake of Israel on that altar. And God heard him. Because it will be said of him that God knew him by name. Because he was a consistent man at the altar. Genesis 8:20, the Bible said, Noah built an altar, a sacrifice to the Lord on the altar. Check all the men that worked with God, all of them in the scriptures, all, not one exempted, all had an altar. You cannot successfully work with God without an altar. You cannot successfully work with God without an altar. Look at Hebrews 11 verse 4. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That sacrifice was done in an altar, which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Are you seeing? Cain himself had an altar. Abel had an altar. They all place sacrifice. But that of Abel was accepted and Cain's own was declined because of the state of his heart. But they both had an altar. So I looked at the word excellence while we ministered about that topic, deactivating generational curses. We saw that the scripture says Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. So now we are seeing that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So even in the place of the altar, there are levels and dimensions of sacrifices. I pray these people are understanding me. There are levels and grades of sacrifices. Abel sacrificed, Cain's sacrifice. But God came to weigh the sacrifice. Some of us that assume to have altars, the kind of sacrifices that come on the altar don't have weight. I talked about that woman I just shared about, her testimony that God liberated her. A particular prophet told a girl I know, the girl came to me and said, a prophet told her that before she gets married, she must raise 7 altars. I said, interesting. Come and teach me. Let me learn new technology of this 7 altar technology. She said the prophet told her that each altar will be raised with 7,000. 7,000, 777 into 7 places. I said, you have met a fraud. That one is a fraud. That guy is not raising any altar. He doesn't even know what an altar is. Because she was seeking for a miracle of marriage. So she was asking me whether should she pay the money. I said, if you have that money, eat it and feel happy. Eat the money, do yourself well. Because if you give that young man, he's going to eat it for you. And no altar will be raised. Not even a stool. The program I went for in Port Harcourt, the prophet that invited me is my friend. So I asked him, and by the grace of God, he's someone that respects me. He listens to our sermons often. While I was even in Port Harcourt, he was telling me that most nights before he sleeps, he listens. And when he listens, he has encounters through those messages. Now I began to ask him, tell me about your consecration. That was at midnight. And now he began to tell me things about his spiritual consecration. He said every Thursday he calls every Thursday his covenant day. Abeg, open your ear very wide. Open your ear very wide. Anywhere you're listening to me in any part of the world, listening very attentively. He said every Thursdays has been declared his covenant day. And those Thursdays, it is him and God. He will keep the entire day waiting on God. That in the course of waiting on God, as he studies the Bible, prays, he will silence himself, still his mind, and in the course of all that, he'll be receiving trances. As he enters a trance, he will write it down. There are some things that may want to happen the next month. God will reveal in the course of that. Are you getting? So he said as he continued in that, his prophetic grace was getting sharp, more sharpened. He's a prophet by calling. Now I said, good, I'm glad. Because since him being my friend, I know what many prophets do to this day. So I wanted to be sure that he does not leave that narrow path. Yes. So he told me these things. I said, good, it is good that people hear this kind of things. That you keep a day, you call it a covenant day, you fast on that day, you pray on that day, you keep the day for God. For those ones that go to work and their workplaces and all of that, even if you work all through the week, at least there are hours in the day that you can just sanctify to God. That habit, as you begin to do it, so you're consistent, that thing becomes an altar. It becomes an altar. It becomes a meeting place with God. Before you come there on that day, God will even be waiting for you. In the course of that, encounters will begin to come to your life. Encounters will begin to come. Because you have raised an altar. The altar I'm talking about is spiritual. The altar is not material. The altar is not material. The altar I'm talking about is not just here. Although this place is a sanctified place, but this one is not the altar. This one you are seeing there. We can go like the underground church that happens in Russia during the severe times of communism. How they have underground churches. They will go inside thick forest, stay under one tree and be clapping. They did not build anything like this. But they have an altar. So the altar is not material. It is spiritual. When I went there, after I preached the message on building the altar, building spiritual altars, I happened to stay in the apartment of the visionaire of that ministry. So every morning the woman will come to knock where the prophet is for everyone to have devotion. Exactly 5 a.m. they will knock, bang bang. I monitored that for 3 days. I said, okay, these people have an altar. These people have a meeting place. But apart from doing ministry, this person has an altar. There are people that can raise family altars in their homes. At a particular time, they come together to call upon the name of the Lord. As they consist in doing this, as they become consistent, that place receives a type of voice in the spirit. And as that voice is given, whenever they gather like that, revelations will come as they pray. And you see that plagues will be kept away from Israel. Plagues will be kept away from Israel. Israel will see manifold plagues. David did not raise an altar. The David I'm talking about are the people listening to me. Plagues were kept away because David raised an altar. Are you the kind of person hearing me that your family is besieged with heavy plagues? You can keep the plagues away by raising an altar. So that when the altar sponsoring those plagues begins to speak, your own is speaking. And the Bible said, he that cometh from above is above all. But if that plague is coming from beneath and you are not coming from above, no voice, you'll be helpless. So this is what has made it seem as though the devil has been stronger. But that's a lie. We are the ones that make the devil strong. If there was an altar to confront any other altar that is to speak against, those altars will be silenced. I'm not here to shout fire, 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 and you go home empty. I'm here to give you instructions that will birth miracles. Instructions that will lead you. He said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He will take you into greener pastures. It's this kind of instructions that will bring you into greener pastures. You know, when they bring a lamb, the bulls and all of that, into greener pastures, the grass is green, they begin to flex, they begin to eat and be merry. That's how God leads us by instructions into greener pastures. Very important. While I visited that young man in that program, I was happy because before we would talk 5-10 minutes, he would tell me one thing I said in one sermon that he learned. I was like, good, okay. That we are raising disciples that are beyond borders. Beyond borders. So when that woman of God will come and knock by 5, after I engaged her in a talk about that thing she does, she told me that is her covenant hour. So after I finished ministering that message, the following day she was praying in the morning, I overheard her prayer. She said, Lord, help us to keep our altar more on fire. Help us to build deeper altars. I said, good, the message entered. If you don't build altars, your families will be at the mercy of Satan. And Satan has no mercy. Satan has no mercy. Satan shows no mercy. Look at Numbers chapter 18 verse 5. Let me show you this. Numbers chapter 18 verse 5. Journey with me. The book of Numbers 18 verse 5. The scripture says, and you shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath anymore upon the children of Israel. Who will keep the charge of the altar? Don't wait for the person by your side. Don't wait for your younger ones. Don't wait for your spouse. The Bible says you, hearing, will keep the charge of the altar. You will keep the charge of the altar. So when you keep the charge of the altar, what happens? You will keep rot away. Are you looking at your Bible at all and seeing what I'm seeing? You will keep the charge of the altar and shall keep the rot away from the people. You shall take charge of the altar. Take charge of the altar to keep the rot away. So that those witches and forces that are looking for children to eat, as you're keeping charge of the altar, when they see your children, it is fire they see in the realm of the spirit, because you are keeping charge. I've told us several people that raised up altars. How often should this altar be sacrificed upon? That's the question. How often? Journey with me, Hebrews 7:27. How often should the altar be sacrificed upon? The altar you are raising. How often should it be sacrificed upon? Should sacrifice come upon it? Hebrews 7:27. He said, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's sins? For this he did once when he offered up himself once. Look at this. The first line said, who needeth not daily? The priest of the old covenant, the sacrifices they do on the altar was on a daily basis. Have you read where Peter the apostle said that you are a royal priesthood? So that is to say, we have a priesthood on our head. as sons and daughters of God, there is a priesthood on your head in the realm of the spirit. So the priesthood is of royalty. You are a royal priesthood. So in the old covenant, those priests, they often perform sacrifices on the altar daily. Did you see daily there? Daily. The sacrifice on the altar comes daily. Look at Leviticus 6, verse 12 to 13. Leviticus 6. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood on it every what morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. The priest will burn wood on the altar of sacrifice every morning. The fire should not be put out. So the sacrifice on the altar is something that comes daily. Every day. Don't say, I have waited on God today. Tomorrow I don't have strength. No. The priest performs the sacrifices on a daily basis. Jesus told the disciples to pray. He said, and give us this day our daily bread. The covenant is a daily one. Meeting with God is daily. It's daily. You may pick a time and say, this is the time of the day that I will be meeting with the Lord on the altar. In that meeting with God, as you are consistent, that becomes an altar. That covenant, that practice, receives a voice in the realm of the spirit that begins to speak for you. But if you don't have this, you'll be like a wanderer. Be like a wanderer. See, this one's running from Jupiter to Mars looking for miracles. At the end, they don't receive miracles though. Ask them. At the end, rather than miracles, their pockets are empty. The sharp guys empty their pockets. But if you want to be a vessel of miracle, you must learn how to build an altar. You must learn how to build an altar. And upon the altar, the fire shall not go day and night. Wood must be burnt on the altar. I saw the wood there as like the word of God. That you are engaging the word of God and prayer daily. If you want to be used by God to do exploits for the kingdom, if you want to excel in God, if you want to fulfill destinies, you must raise an altar and you must be consistent with it. I'm not talking for those that don't want to be serious with God, because some persons have their liberty. Everyone has their liberty. But if you want to be serious and go far with God, you must raise an altar with the Lord. You must raise an altar with the Lord. Something happened during the program. I went. Please, somebody take it. Something happened during the program I went. I passed a declaration during the program. And that declaration, the Lord told me to call everybody out that is doing business, that I should anoint their hands. Just as I was calling, in my spirit, I received the word that even the tomato seller come out. So I say, even tomato sellers come out. One woman came out. So, on the last day of the program, she came to testify. She said she had been struggling in her business, that she is a tomato seller. People shouted. She said she had been struggling. Then when the word of the Lord came forth, she said, okay, God has located her today. She went to a business place with her hand, placed it on the ground and spoke to her business. She said that morning, the program was to start by 8 to 2. We dismissed by 2. That morning, she stayed in her business she started very early. She said before she came, the others they were selling with her, they were selling 7,000 naira. Per basket, she sells 8,500. People will come to her See, others are selling 7,000. You are selling 8,500. She will say, well, you want to buy from them, buy. But I know what I'm selling. She said people lined up that day. And before she came, she sold 17 baskets. 17 baskets is like a half trailer load. The tomato seller I'm talking about is not the one that is selling count, you know. She's a dealer. He said she sold 17 baskets that she has never sold like that. I said, good, she received the word. She received the instruction and she came out and did what God directed. And the miracle came forth. So instructions are very important. What God is saying is that many miracles you are awaiting, if you can raise an altar, the altar will be a tunnel of miracles. It will be a miracle tunnel. Very, very important. Very, very important. The altar itself, it will be a refinery to generate power for you. The altar will be a place where power will be generated into your life. I have a friend before I got born again. This is my friend, his elder brother in Port Harcourt. I won't mention the name of the place in Port Harcourt, but the elder brother's name is called Confusion. You know when they call somebody Confusion? His elder brother's name is called that. This kind of person, when they come to arrest him, he disappears. So this is my friend. While I was in Babylon, those days in school, he wanted to go and take charms so that he will be invisible. So if you shoot him, nothing enters. He came for the meeting. The way the power of God was moving, it was in a dimension that I didn't need to. I mentioned some cases of people that were demon possessed and oppressed. All of them came out. The Lord would just lead me as I drew my hand, like a whirlwind would just carry that one. All of them, the wind was carrying. The guy told me after the program, because the Lord told me to bless handkerchiefs as a mantle and give to them. So the guy took it to his brother that was sick. He laid it on the brother. He now called me on the phone. He said, if like say I don't know you, ask where I go get this power from. That's what he asked. This guy is a politician in his place and is interested in anything that carries power. He said, oh boy, power don't enter you. Power don't enter you. Is this kind of power seeker? Is this kind of person in the world that, in fact, while we were in school, in his hostel one day, a particular boy that was doing like a hard man came to challenge him. The guy used to carry gym, weightlift. And the guy came to challenge him. He just slapped the guy. A little slap. The guy fainted. The nurse would bring water to pour the guy. After the guy resuscitated, when the guy sees him, the guy would just shake. The person will, as in, he will just shift. What I'm saying is that the altar, if we have a consistent altar with God, is that place the Lord will be ministering spiritual power into our lives. Spiritual power does not come by receive it. I claim it, Nala. It does not come by that. It comes by consistency in the place of the altar. If you finish receiving it that night, witches can slap you. If you finish receiving it, you can go home that night and witches slap you and play with you. But it is at the place of the altar that you gather momentum, that you gather weight in the spirit. They looked at the seven sons of Sceva, those demons. They said, we know Paul, we know Jesus, but who will I be? Who are you? You have no altar. You are just calling the name without the spirit. No refinery inside of you. How can the name bring forth results? How? And the demon severely dealt with those seven children of the high priest. The father was the high priest. So they thought they could do it in the name of religion. Huh? I still beg also. You see those ones that are living on the altar of fornication often, and you are casting devils, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. You need to stand on the altar of righteousness. Because the scripture says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. The scripture is talking about is the Holy Spirit in you. So if the Holy Spirit is not in you, the man in the world will be with you. The Holy Spirit is not in you, the man in the world, that dragon that fell from heaven, that the Bible says, woe on the earth, for Satan has come with a great wrath. So if there is no he in you that is the Holy Spirit, the man in the world will deal with you. That's why God wants us to raise altars. That if you don't meet with God at that appointed time that day, you have no rest. You'll be looking forward to the next day. So God, the next day you come and says, Lord, I'm sorry for missing appointment. It becomes part of you. Fellowship begins to flow. In the place of fellowship, the Lord will be releasing gifts and graces to you. Many have been empty because they are altarless. You think it's the altar of your papa that is coming and shouting, fire, fire, you are receiving. That is not the one that saves you. That's not the one that delivers you. That's not the altar that liberates you. The altar that liberates you is the altar you set up by yourself. There are many activities of the altar. I wanted to talk about the activities of the altar, but it's going to be another day. Building an altar. The witches that you know, that you don't know, they have an altar. I know about a particular lady that a housemaid she brought in killed her baby boy, not up to 2 weeks old. The witch ate the child, and when the witch confessed, she said, you sent me to buy something, I bought something and she shouted at me, so I was angry. As she shouted at me, I had to eat your child. The witch ate the child of the lady. And that was how the child died. There are altars everywhere in many places. That's why God needs us to have an altar. A place of consistency with God. That as you begin to meet God at that moment, as you are making petitions, supplicating. There are many things that happen at the altar, but I don't want to talk about that today. It will be some other time. But let's rise up on our feet. I have not shouted. I have not made noise. I have communicated an instruction. I want you to go ahead and tell God to help you to build an altar to Him. Say, Lord, help me to build an altar unto you. Say, Lord, help me to build an altar. In Jesus' name. Please, hear me well. See. What makes the preacher that you feel is connected to God and has power with God, what makes him is an altar. You can be in the pew and you are more powerful spiritually than the preacher because of your altar. We are all priests before God. We are a royal priest. The only thing is that God has given gifts unto men and called men into some offices. Someone can be in a... It is not compulsory that the pastor of the church will be the most spiritual. It's not scriptural. God wants you to operate an altar that because of you, there will be rest in your family, rest in your communities. Say, Lord, give me grace to build an altar. A place of meeting with you. Let me be consistent. A place of meeting with you. Shakata Baba Balegede. Help me to build my altar, a place of consistency, a place of meeting with deity, a place of meeting with the Lord God. Ibrana sukate likama sukate. Ibrana mosukate lima sukatena. Please go ahead and pray. Say, Lord, help me to build my altar. My altar has been broken. My altar is in fragment, is in pieces. Help me to build an altar unto you, Lord. Help me to build an altar. Help me to build an altar to you, Lord. Help me to build an altar to you. An altar of consecration, an altar of prayer, an altar of the world. Baruski barukateli. Baruski taba barukateli masukatelia. Baruski baruski malukatelia. Help me to build an altar to you, Lord. Help me to build an altar. An altar. A place of meeting. A place of communion. A place of fellowship. Now somebody go ahead and say, Lord, set my altar on fire. Some of us have altars, but the altar is not on fire. Help me to burn fire on the altar day and night. Set my altar on fire. Set my altar on fire. Set my altar on fire. Fire, fire. Set my altar on fire. Set my altar on fire. Say, Lord, set my altar on fire. Get my altar born with fire. Get my altar born with fire. Fire. Set my altar on fire. Fire. A new anointing. Hear me well. Everybody lift up your hands and pray this prayer. The Lord has ministered to me that a new anointing is going to come upon us for this altar. Because without the altar, we will be empty. You need the anointing that quickens to be able to build and work with this altar. The altar is a consecration, a place of meeting. You can decide that I will be meeting with the Lord 12 midnight every day, 12 to 1 a.m. You can decide that you'll be meeting with the Lord 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. You can decide it is in the evening, but it's a particular meeting place and time with God. Now, as you lift up your hands, you are going to say, Lord, set my altar on fire. Set my altar on fire. The altar of my life, set it on fire. Go ahead and pray as you lift up your hand. Set my altar on fire, 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 fire. Set my altar on fire, fire. Elena na 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 na. Ili meno upa ziyala yedi yada yada. Somebody go ahead and say, Daddy, set my altar on fire. Set my altar on fire. In Jesus, when the lift up your hands. Lift up your hands and close your eyes. Reduce the volume a bit. Lift up your hands as your eyes are closed. Without the Holy Spirit, any altar we raise will not stand the test of time. It takes the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to be men and women of altar. If we are not men and women of altar, we will have no voice in our generation. I'm praying for each and every one of us whose hands are lifted, those who are here and those who will be listening to this message. I pray that right now, in the name above every name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let the fire of God from the highest heavens, let fire fall upon.
God, through his servant Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 703246 9360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.forshare.com or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.ghsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360 to become a partner.
We are God's Army Global, bringing the fullness of God to every man and taking as numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.